This show is sponsored by MyOliveLeaf.biz, MyOliveLeaf.biz.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
I mean, we're getting pushed to the corner to a backwater everywhere we turn. And we got this silly excuse, it's white supremacy. Hell no. Go to kindergarten through 12th grade, get your act together and get something out of it. Pay attention. And don't even listen to your heaving little mama running around the house half the time, who's too busy trying to go put on something tight so she can get laid again instead of going to a gym. Pay attention to your homework, children, if you're listening to this. If you want to be a conscientious parent, make damn sure that that child does something. Put yourself to work. You had to birth these children. Now work with them. Sit down at the kitchen table and do their homework. Learn, too. Get your act together. Teach them a work ethic. To do the work. To stay to it. To finish it up. To do the dishes. Do the chores. Take the trash out. To learn responsibility. Quit trying to pacify them with video games instead of teaching them. See, in other words, it should be Sunday morning. Somebody preacher need to be saying something like this instead of you believe in Jesus crap. Tell them about sin. Yeah, you going to hell unless you straighten up and do something right. Instead of that, some folks ain't to get to heaven by doing good deeds, but you can't get to heaven just do good. You got to believe in these guys. Believe in the Lord, and it don't make no difference what you do. You can be a pimp. You can be a thief. You can be a murderer. You can be a drug dealer, but you going to heaven if you just believe. Pimp fool trying to get your money in the collection plate. See, we need to straighten up and get our acts together and stop being so damn ignorant. To acquire some information, to get some sophistication. Somebody wanted to talk about how you use them big words. Well, you could learn them. Everybody in the whole damn world knows English. And you sit up here and you live here where it is the official language and you don't know it, that's some sorry mess on your part.
Radio, DJ.
One nation, one station.
All right, guys, right now you're listening to the voice of Valerie Denise Jones. I hope you're having a great day. Big shout out to those of you who subscribe to me on Instagram. Instagram at Valerie Denise Jones and also MS Valerie Denise Jones. I appreciate your love, your likes, your subs, and your comments. Thank you so much also for requesting that we talk about certain things on Friday. So thank you. Keep those comments coming via my DM. I will try to answer as many of you as my schedule deems possible. All right. So another shout out. I wanted to send a shout out because it's very, very rare that I get any financial support from anyone. So I wanted to send a shout out to Healthy Loves Healthy. Healthy Loves Healthy sent me a Cash App and I wanted to thank her so much from the bottom of my heart before I get started because she didn't have to do that. So thank you, Healthy Love Healthy. I appreciate you. And hopefully you hear the sincerity in my voice. All right, guys, right now I'm getting ready to patch you into a previously recorded broadcast featuring Dr. Randy Short, Attorney Daryl Washington, Joshua Brown, our callers. Shout out to Brother Bernard, Maurice, the pastor, Philo. Gosh, there were a lot of people. Our board is always lit, always live. So, yeah, we do the darn thing every Friday. Every Friday, starting at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 929-477-1167. All right, so this audio edit is going to briefly touch on the coronavirus. And one thing I want to make clear, I know that this intro is super, super long and I apologize for that. But one thing that I definitely want to make clear is that what Joshua Brown is saying is not that you should not take the coronavirus lightly. We're definitely not saying underestimate its powers. What he is saying is that you should live your life like you're never safe. Absolutely never safe, so therefore never let your guard down. And he was just saying, be strong, educate yourself, and never live in a safety bubble. All right, so here we go.
Hello, Ms. Valerie. Hello, counselor. How are you?
Hello. Well, Judge.
All right, sir. The deal with Harvey Weinstein is everybody in the media is getting on it because too many in the media screwed their way to their positions or did the homosexual version of that to get where they are, and they're short on talent. It shows so readily. And they've got a little pet peeve about it. So, I mean, they've had laws against this for years, and people have gotten caught up in it, but we've got this whole thing where we don't pay attention unless there are celebrities involved, and that's a bad thing because the celebrity situation is not the ordinary situation. We've got a coronavirus situation developing, too, and it's not so much as they're hyping it, is it just displays the public's general ignorance. 50 years ago, 60 years ago, I don't think this would have caused the reaction it's causing because people were more used to the idea that there is an adversarial world out there with a lot of threats that can take you out. And today, too many people feel they are entitled to being safe. You can't be alive and breathing on the planet Earth and be safe because Mother Nature's got a lot of nasty stuff in store for you. There are all kinds of conspiracy theories going on, and people that just been exposed to biology and science in the fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, most of what they're putting out there would no longer be put out there because the questions they have would have been answered. So we've dummied down to education. We've gotten stuck on stupid, and we don't deal with the relevant things that we have to deal with. I've been saying for months now that one of our big problems in this whole country is that after a 50-year-long concerted campaign, this LGBTQ, et cetera, Skittles thing has taken over the function of politics that gets to say what's going on. They have occupied high offices and they control the media. And too much of what happens at the top is smokescreen confusion thrown out so they can quietly destroy masculinity in the families. These people don't like the family.
Hey, I wanted to make sure I touch back because I know you said you only got a few more minutes. Is there anything that you would like
quiet
to touch on?
Counselor, you got the floor.
No, Judge, it is always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to be on the line with you. As Valerie and I discussed before you got on, you know, we have to continue the fight. There are so many people who depend on us to fight on their behalf. You know, I had the opportunity to speak at an event a couple of weeks ago, and I was talking to attorneys and judges. And one of the things I discussed is, you know, many of us, when we wrote our personal statements to our respective law schools, we said the reason we wanted to be an attorney was so that we can go back to our communities and make a difference, so that we can help individuals who cannot help themselves. And unfortunately, so many people get a taste of these big paychecks that they forgot that personal promise or a personal pledge that they made in order to get into law school. So the challenge I always make to everyone is we all have our part in this fight, and we have to do whatever we can to make a difference in this society. The things that you talk about, the changes that need to be made, we need to do them. And if we don't make these changes, these things are going to continue to happen. I just think this is just a huge wake-up call for us to see that you can't put all your confidence and trust in certain politicians and certain individuals. You have to go out and make things happen for yourself. I don't know all the facts of the Andrew Gilliam incident in Florida, but I can tell you it's shocking to a lot of people, I guess, because they put so much of trust and faith in one man. But, you know, I've always believed that you have the work that needs to be done. Sometimes you have to just roll up your sleeves and just get it done yourself. So, as always, Judge, I enjoy my time talking to you. I look forward to you and I getting together in person and being able to, Valerie, we be able to spend an hour or two on the radio show just really talking about some relevant issues.
Thank you, Counselor. I'm proud of what work you're doing, and that's right. There's this thing about giving back. We've got a black county mayor just got elected, and he claims he's on a fast track to be the next black president. He's bisexual. His wife is, too. They swing with the white folk. And both of them have been law professors for more than a decade, and these SOBs have not done one damn pro bono case in that entire time. And you know, law professors got lots of spare time.
Right.
A full paycheck, and they can't give back. That's a disgrace. He won't even come to black functions. He assumes they got the vote, but he has our vote. But the problem is, see, only 28% of the white folk, well, excuse me, of those who can vote for him in the county, only 28% of the registered voters are white. He won't even pay attention to the majority black constituents.
I mean, as I said, Valerie, it's really hard to say who supports what. You know, because over the years, politicians have made promises and have said things that they have not kept to heart. So it's very tough on that, on to say which candidate to support. However, we have a president who is putting who is appointing federal judges to the bench that does not have the community's best interest, does not have civil rights' best interest. So it is my opinion that, you know, whomever the Democrat candidate is, whoever has gone against Donald Trump would give us a better opportunity to have individuals appointed to the bench who would not be as bad as what we're currently dealing with right now. So it's important if people don't like what they see happening right now, that they allow their voices to be heard. I mean, I'm looking at this press conference that's going on right now with the president, and it's almost insulting to watch or listen to the things that he's saying right now about the coronavirus. So there definitely needs to be some changes.
I'm not offended by his remarks about the coronavirus. This time, by the end of March 2019, there were 130-some thousand deaths due to the flu worldwide, and that's something you can get vaccinated by. We've got maybe 6,400 worldwide deaths due to coronavirus, and 6,400 is nowhere close to 130-some thousand. And one, we don't have an inoculation for, and the other one we do, and people won't take advantage of it. The death toll worldwide for flu in 2019 was 640,000. That is going to be much, much greater than the death toll from coronavirus. Coronavirus is just unsettling because it's not what people have come to expect in this period of safety bubble. If you're 45 and under, you don't know about it, but if you're 50 and above, you do know about the fact that it wasn't there at one time. In 1918, America had 63 million people, and we had 18 million people die from the so-called Spanish flu, which actually originated in the United States. And they're expecting imminently a mutation of that to revive itself. Coronavirus, we've already looked at. Its initial form that we became aware of was known as SARS, S-A-R-S. That's an acronym in capital letters, and that was 2002, and then somewhere around 2008, 2009, it broke out in a mutated form known as MERS, M-E-R-S, capital letters, in certain limited parts of the world, and this is also a coronavirus. It's known as COVID-19. The original origin was in crows, hence the COVID moniker. That's COVID is a crow or a magpie. So we won't get vaccinated or inoculated for flu because so many people said it makes me sick. Well, yeah, you got slightly ill. But they've had some bad flu outbreaks in the last 15 years, and a lot of people paid very little attention to it. So if you're talking about relativity in terms of actual deaths, it's like me being on a criminal bench handling homicide cases or specializing in the trial of first-degree murder cases as a lawyer. Well, most of all of the homicides I dealt with in either role were from somebody getting beat with a claw hammer or baseball bat or a knife, and nobody talks about that. And the overwhelming minority of the cases involve somebody getting shot, but everybody on that side is all in heebie-jeebies about guns. So it's a matter of relativity. If you're really interested in the death toll, you do something about tightening up driver's license issuance so that people actually were physically more capable of operating a motor vehicle. If you were really concerned about somebody dying or just some novel way by gunfire, rather than getting all up in arms about it. The same thing if you're worried about death toll, 640,000 worldwide is a hell of a lot more than what it's projected to be for the COVID-19 strain of the coronavirus. Now, as far as the politics go, B5 looks like he's going to be the Demogatic Party's candidate. And when I say Demogatic, I'm putting G-A-Y in there because they have become the party of the gay crowd, and I don't swing that way. Like I said, it's their business in their bedrooms, but they're trying to influence the First, Fourth, and Fifth Amendments very drastically. And the second, and I don't like that, and that's my business because that's getting in my living room. Now, B5 is bigoted, bribe, bench warmer, buffoon Biden. And that is about one of the sorriest, most racist clowns that's been out there that black folk on the plantation have been supporting. Now, I recall because at the time, I had just left being the public defender for Memphis and gone into private practice when Biden was giving glory to George Wallace, John Stennis, Faubus, and every one of those racist bigots that was trying to make life miserable for black folk. And he was coming out against the integration of schools at the time. And he was talking about they were his mentors. So I haven't forgotten that bigoted clown. And for black folk to sit there and act like they love that fool that hasn't come up with an original idea in his whole damn life, it just bothers me. Now, Trump, on the other hand, you have to deal with Trump. Trump's been, he's not likable in terms of what the press portrays him saying. But so what? We all say that. You hear worse than that in a beauty salon or in a barber shop or in a locker room. And that's reality. But you also don't hear about the fact that when Jesse Jackson ran for president, Trump basically raised all his money and gave him free office space both runs. You don't hear about the fact that he basically was the man with the bankroll behind Bill Clinton and a whole lot of other people on the Democratic Party side. But what you got was the man with the bankroll, instead of being the puppet master, is sitting on the throne instead of pulling the puppet strings on the person we thought was holding the throne. And he says stuff, and I appreciate it because it is putting this corrupt media in its proper place. It is supposed to be a reporting entity, not the entity that calls the shots. It is supposed to report reality, not try and create reality. That's that yellow journalism that started off with Hearst 100-some years ago, got us into the Spanish-American War when he told that big lie about the Cubans blowing up the battleship Maine when all it was faulty coal self-ignited and set off the magazines that by design defect were right next to the coal bunkers. So, I mean, it's nothing new, but, I mean, it's something to try and haul the rain in, and we are not doing that. Trump is not our problem. It's this sorry situation where we do not have a rigorous education these days. The counselor, I'll exclude you because you do put your foot on top of some carcasses that need to be stepped on. But we've got too many damn coward lawyers who are into the profession as a business rather than as a profession, just trying to make money instead of giving back and keeping the system honest with itself. We've got Correct. Some people who know more about somebody's floor percentage in NBA than they do about who the hell they're not voting for judges, except what somebody sticks under their face on election day. I know people who don't know much about what other individuals have done. They don't research this. I was there when that bigot Hillary Clinton was out there on a picket line in Chicago in 1966. And 67 when she was a Republican Goldwater girl and chairwoman of the Republican Party at her all-girls college, Wesley University, and she was trying to keep the University of Illinois campus in Chicago completely segregated. Black students couldn't go certain places after dark on that campus. They weren't permitted to go into unless they were working in some of the cafeterias, and they certainly couldn't stay in certain housing, and they had certain days of the week they could go to the bookstore, and that witch was out there trying to keep it that way. Bernie Sanders went to jail when he was running, he was chairman of a core chapter, Congress of Racial Equality. We forget that, but everybody's supporting that racist bigot out there. And then when King came to Chicago in 1967 to deal with the segregation in Chicago suburbs, Clinton, not Clinton then, Hillary Rodman and her racist parents were out there with picket signs trying to keep the neighborhood segregated. But we love that witch. And she came out the closet in 1967. But they put her back in. See, that's just more example of them trying to run everything. And I remember being on UCLA's campus in the 60s when I was a student there and listening to them plot on how they want to take control of the media. They were going to get the print media. They were going to get television and motion pictures, the picture industry. And they were going to sit there and get into politics and sneak their people in there, and they were talking about how it was their obligation to infiltrate both parties, use the opportunity to generate as much confusion as they could so they could sneak these things in for them. And they were so proud, and I was about ready to get out of law school then, when they came out with what became the Gay Manifesto of 1972, and they outlined what they were going to do. And nobody wants to read any damn more. We want to listen to an hour and a half long something on YouTube where the person said what could have been read in 5 minutes or less. And they were talking about number 7 of state action they wanted to push to remove age as a consent factor in sex. That's pedophilia. And the other thing is that their target was and always has been children, because if you get to the children, you win the game because they will believe something before they understand or even know what they're believing. And that's why they're having these trannies talk to these children. So you get authority not behind somebody standing up and saying he's gay or he's a lesbian, she's a lesbian, but somebody saying he's tranny or transvestite and he's got fluid gender, which is their proper thing, which they push Michael Jackson with his perverted ass, you know, androgynous, no sexuality. See, they push that because what they get castigated for is same-sex sex. So if you destroy sex, then you take away the onus from what they are. And we are enthralled to a bunch of people that hate what they are and hate what they want to be. It's their right to do what they want to do, but that's some sick mess.
All right, guys, I am going to stop it right there because we started to delve further down the political rabbit hole as opposed to talking about coronavirus. But there were a few callers who touched on coronavirus, so I am going to share Judge Brown's answer and also to address the fact that several people are under the assumption that African Americans are immune to the coronavirus due to our melanin. So yeah, I'm going to play what Jessica Brown had to say regarding that as well. All right, here we go.
Well, you know, like I was just referring to, Brother Maurice, this is like the old time thing. Most everything else that has bothered us over the last 60, going on 70 years, they've got a cure for or something that you can be inoculated with to keep you from getting it, and this is one where you can't. So this is just the old-time way, you know. Look at the bubonic plague, the Black Death, you know. Smallpox used to be a plague. It's just what humans put up with for most of our existence on the planet. There's no cure for it. You can treat it to bring the symptoms down so they aren't quite as bad if you catch it in time, but it is what it is. Welcome to the real world.
Thank you to all the callers. I appreciate you guys so much. Judge, before we wrap this segment, I want to ask you, do you think that social media plays an intricate part in all of this, being that we're being exposed to so much information at such a rapid rate? Maybe that could lend itself to our fear status?
No, which is what I've been railing against for so long. When you emasculate the country, you downgrade the importance of courage and bravery. You have to be brave. And, I mean, what is done right now, I don't think is a bad thing. If you look at pictures of China and Japan and other places in the world, you see people wearing masks all the time because they think they're infectious and they feel that they should protect their fellow citizens. You never see that in America. Maybe it's time we got a little more cautious. Maybe it's time that our safety bubble got burst so that we understand what most humans had to go through when there were some things that you couldn't do anything about. But we can wash your hands. If you run out of hand sanitizer, which Purell is going for, I think, $140, $150 a bottle now, but you can make it, three parts rubbing alcohol and one part aloe vera, and what kills the virus pretty quickly is the alcohol. You can even use vodka if you get 100 proof, but, you know, what a waste of a good drink.
Judge, it was recently reported that NBA player Donovan Mitchell was recently diagnosed as having the coronavirus. What say you of people who believe the commentary that melanated people are immune to the coronavirus?
The average American white person has about 25 to 30% African genes in them, recent African genes. The average American black person has about the same percentage of white in them. So there aren't very many pure Africans here, and even in Africa, they got mixtures. So when you start talking about you don't want to affect melanated people, the closest parallel to what the race situation actually is like these replica cars where you got a fiberglass body, and it's supposed to look like something else, but underneath it's a Ford or it's a Chevrolet. Well, underneath, there's a commonality irrespective of what the paint scheme looks like. So that whole thing about black folk being immune to it is crap. If you had listened in the fourth, fifth, and sixth grade to your science lesson or read it, or gotten interested in it other than basketball, football, or baseball, you might find out what that's about. Now, it is what it is. It is nothing that we are immune to. And it's no government conspiracy. You don't need a government conspiracy. Mother Nature is damn good at it. Now, I don't have anything to say to anybody that can't accept evolution, but if you want to see how far something can change, look at us. We once were, well, our ancestors were single-cell organisms at one point in time, and look what they turned into, given enough time, us, so we can contemplate it. Well, if you take the coronavirus that produced SARS and then MERS, and then it mutates a bit, spreads around a bit, then you've got COVID-19. So guess what? That's just evolution at work. And I know we've got a black person that was running for Republican president to be a Republican presidential candidate who is a neurosurgeon, but he's a stupid ignoramus because he doesn't accept evolution, even though he deals with science every day. He thinks the dinosaurs died out 2500 B.C. because they didn't get on Noah's Ark. So, I mean, stupid is stupid, and you can believe in a flat world, but, I mean, we have to get ahead. If we want to do something about our situation, we have to get into science, technology, engineering, and math, because those are the only fields that will come up with something new that we can get into that's not already glutted by deep pockets.
Officially declaring a national emergency.
Friday, reassured by the president's message, markets skyrocketed.
I'm scared for my girls.
As the virus continues to spread, so does fear. Only West Virginia has yet to report a confirmed case.
Late Friday night, the Pentagon halting all official domestic travel for service members, DOD civilians, and their families, effective March 16th through May 11th.
In some states, the National Guard now helping with basic necessities.
They told us that they needed help, and that's what we're here to do.
Across the country, schools suspended, 13 statewide closures.
This school was one of the first to close after four students showed symptoms.
In L.A., the second largest school district, hundreds of thousands of kids now staying home.
We will look back in this period, and this will be the make or break days.
In Louisiana, the presidential primary rescheduled for June 20th. In Boston, church services canceled. The iconic marathon delayed.
This planet is going to Purell in a handbasket.
Production stopped on favorite shows. Jimmy Kimmel Live, General Hospital, and Ellen. More sporting events canceled. The Masters and NASCAR races. And all embarking U.S. cruises stopped. A request from the president himself to keep the deadly pandemic from spiraling.
Two major retailers also closing their doors, tech giant Apple and outdoor gear label Patagonia.
More than 2,200 cases and at least 50 dead.
No healthcare system can take care of an uncontrolled pandemic.
America, known for the drive-thru, usually restaurants and car washes, now coronavirus testing.
It's also smarter and safer because you're not exposing people to a person who may be positive.
Meanwhile, at this site in Colorado, fear of the unknown.
There are likely thousands of cases in Colorado that have not yet been tested or whose tests are pending.
Seattle's now a ghost town, not a soul on the street. Sharp contrast to supermarkets across the country. Another symptom that life as we know it has changed. The question now, for how long?
Health officials say this is going to get worse before it gets better. Peter, Kristen.
All right.
All right, Erin McLaughlin, thank you very much.
Appreciate that. And as we mentioned, the House did pass an emergency relief bill overnight. And now it is up to the Senate. President Trump has said he'll sign it hours after he declared that national emergency. NBC's Hans Nichols is at the White House with that part of our coverage. Hans, good morning to you.
Good morning, Kristen. The national emergency the president declared frees up billions of dollars for states and localities. It's designed to speed up the availability of testing. On top of that, the House passed that emergency relief package that the president said he supports and now awaits action by the Senate.
Overnight, the House passing an emergency relief package for those financially hit by the coronavirus, including unemployment and paid leave benefits and free coronavirus testing.
We thought it would be important to show the American people, to assure the American people, that we are willing and able to work together.
Before encouraging all Republicans and Democrats to come together and vote yes on Twitter, President Donald Trump appearing in the Rose Garden to declare a national emergency to combat coronavirus.
No resource will be spared.
Freeing up some $50 billion for states and localities. Mr. Trump also announced that he was suspending interest payments on student loans, directing states to set up emergency operation centers, and working on drive-through test sites.
The goal is for individuals to be able to drive up and be swabbed without having to leave your car.
Thank you. Shaking hands with industry CEOs with one elbow bump.
Okay, I like that.
The president also placing limitations on who should get tested.
We don't want everyone running out and taking only if you have certain symptoms.
And while a member of his task force called the lack of test kits a failing, the president not taking the blame.
Do you take responsibility for that?
Yeah, no, I don't take responsibility at all because we were given a set of circumstances and we were given rules, regulations, and specifications from a different time.
And after initially suggesting that he wasn't concerned about contracting the virus from a member of the Brazilian delegation who was later diagnosed with COVID-19.
No,
with him.
We have no symptoms whatsoever.
President Trump admitted that he may get tested himself.
I didn't say I wasn't going to be tested.
Are you going to be?
Most likely, yeah.
Now, just before midnight, the White House's physician's office released a statement saying that the president's interaction with Brazilian officials was low risk and there is therefore no need for a home quarantine. Now, as for the president, he's not presenting any symptoms. And so the White House is saying that no test is indicated for the president at the moment. Guys.
Beautiful day in the Rose Garden. Appreciate everybody being here. Today, I'd like to provide an update to the American people on several decisive new actions we're taking in our very vigilant effort to combat and ultimately defeat the coronavirus. We've been working very hard on this. We've made tremendous progress. When you compare what we've done to other areas of the world, it's pretty incredible. A lot of that had to do with the early designation and the closing of the borders. And as you know, Europe was just designated as the hotspot right now, and we closed that border a while ago. So that was lucky, or through talent or through luck, call it whatever you want. But through a very collective action and shared sacrifice, national determination, we will overcome the threat of the virus. I also announced Wednesday night, following the advice of our medical professionals, who are doing a tremendous job, and we appreciate it very much, that we're suspending the entry of foreign nationals who have been to Europe in the last 14 days from entering the United States. Citizens, permanent residents, and our families, any of the families returning from Europe will be subject to extra screening as well as self-isolation for a period of 14 days. As the World Health Organization confirmed today, many of the things that what we said were 100% correct, including our designation before them of Europe. Like our earlier very aggressive actions with China, this measure will save countless lives. I appreciate a number of the folks behind me, a number of the people behind me said that that saved a lot of lives, at early designation. But it is only the beginning of what we're really doing, and now we're in a different phase. We had some very old and obsolete rules that we had to live with. It worked under certain circumstances, but not under mass circumstances. They were there for a long time, they were in place for a long time, and we're breaking them down now. And they're very usable for certain instances, but not for this. To unleash the full power of the federal government in this effort today, I am officially declaring a national emergency. Two very big words. The action I am taking will open up access to up to $50 billion of very important, and a large amount of money for states and territories and localities in our shared fight against this disease. In furtherance of the order, I'm urging every state to set up emergency operation centers effective immediately. You're going to be hearing from some of the largest companies and greatest retailers and medical companies in the world. They're standing right behind me and inside of me. I'm also asking every hospital in this country to activate its emergency preparedness plan so that they can meet the needs of Americans everywhere. The hospitals are very engaged. New York and various other places are also very engaged. I just spoke with Governor Cuomo. We had a very good conversation. And we're working very strongly with many states, including New York. The emergency orders I'm issuing today will also confer broad new authority to the Secretary of Health and Human Services. The Secretary of HHS will be able to immediately waive provisions of applicable laws and regulations to give doctors, all hospitals, and healthcare providers maximum flexibility to respond to the virus and care for patients. This includes the following critical authorities: the ability to waive laws to enable telehealth, a fairly new incredible thing that's happened in the not so distant past. I tell you, what they've done with telehealth is incredible. It gives remote doctors visits and hospital check-ins the power to waive certain federal license requirements so that doctors from other states can provide services in states with the greatest need. Number two, the ability to waive requirements that critical access hospitals limit the number of beds to 25 and the length of stay to 96 hours. The ability to waive the requirements of a 3-day hospital stay prior to admission to a nursing home, big thing. The authority to waive the rules to hinder hospitals' ability to bring additional physicians on board or obtain needed office space. They can do as they want. They can do what they have to do. They know what they have to do. Now they don't have any problem getting it done. The authority to waive rules that severely restrict where hospitals can care for patients within the hospital itself, ensuring that the emergency capacity can be quickly established. Will remove or eliminate every obstacle necessary to deliver our people the care that they need and that they're entitled to. No resource will be spared, nothing whatsoever. 10 days ago, I brought together the CEOs of commercial labs at the White House and directed them to immediately begin working on a solution to dramatically increase the availability of tests. Other countries have called us and worked with us, and they're doing similar things or will be doing similar things. As a result of that action, today we're announcing a new partnership with private sector to vastly increase and accelerate our capacity to test for the coronavirus. We want to make sure that those who need a test can get a test very safely, quickly, and conveniently. But we don't want people to take a test if we feel that they shouldn't be doing it. And we don't want everyone running out and taking only if you have certain symptoms. Using federal emergency authorities, the FDA approved a new test for the virus. We did this within hours after receiving the application from Roche, a process that would normally take weeks. We therefore expect up to 500,000 additional tests will be available early next week. We'll be announcing locations probably on Sunday night. I want to thank Roche, great company, for their incredible work. I'd also like to thank Thermo Fisher. The FDA's goal is to hopefully authorize the application within 24 hours. It'll go very quickly. It's going very quickly, which will bring additionally 1.4 million tests on board next week and 5 million within a month. I doubt we'll need anywhere near that. At the same time, we've been in discussions with pharmacies and retailers to make drive-through tests available in the critical locations identified by public health professionals. The goal is for individuals to be able to drive up and be swabbed without having to leave your car. I want to thank Google. Google is helping to develop a website. It's going to be very quickly done, unlike websites of the past, to determine whether a test is warranted and to facilitate testing at a nearby convenient location. We have many, many locations behind us, by the way. We cover this country and large parts of the world, by the way. We're not going to be talking about the world right now, but we cover very, very strongly our country, stores in virtually every location. Google has 1,700 engineers working on this right now. They've made tremendous progress. Our overriding goal is to stop the spread of the virus and to help all Americans who have been impacted by this. Again, we don't want everybody taking this test. It's totally unnecessary.
All right, guys, that officially wraps today's audio. Hopefully you got something out of it. You heard from our president, also Judge Joe Brown, regarding the coronavirus and many other topics. Stay tuned for Joshua Brown and Dr. Randy Short. I have some audio I'd like to share with you regarding Florida's Andrew Gilliam, who was caught at a meth orgy, at a meth gay orgy. So please stay tuned for that. On a very serious note, guys, I love you to life. I cannot say that enough. I love you. I love you. I love you. So please, please, please make sure that you educate yourself. You do whatever you got to do to stay safe, stay alive. I hope to meet all of you guys someday. All right. Meet me on Instagram. Especially if you got a topic, some commentary, some deets, and inside scoops, anything like that, anything that will make this platform very, very interesting, take it to the next level, hit me up in the DM on Instagram. I am at Valerie Denise Jones, Valerie Denise Jones, or MS Valerie Denise Jones. Again, another shout out to Healthy Loves Healthy. Thank you so much for that Cash App. I appreciate you so much because I definitely need it. So I love you to life. Guys, that is it. I am out of here. Until we talk again, I will see you down in the comment section. Like, share, subscribe. Listen to this video over and over so that you can get everything that you need out of it. And yeah, that's it. Have better than a great day. I love you to life. Bye.
Today's show is sponsored by My Olive Leaf. Please visit myoliveleaf.biz to shop for olive leaf extracts, which will assist your efforts to transform your life, detox your body, increase your energy, get restful sleep, and rid your body of antiviral, antibacterial, and antifungal properties. Do not delay. Contact the MOL reps today. Please visit myoliveleaf.biz for their full line of olive leaf extracts and moringa products. Oh yeah, for those of you who would like a personal consultation, please call the MOL reps at 612-567-3263. Also visit their website and social media pages for the latest on sales, new releases, and more. Have a great day. See you in the comments section.